Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at @DReefer or at @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning and happy Easter.
Happy Easter Sunday. It's a beautiful day. And if you're on your way to church and listening to us, thanks for joining us. Happy Easter to you, too. What a great day.
We'll try not to turn you into a heathen on the way. That's our promise. I feel like a heathen because mine are...
I feel like part of what's going to happen today is Josh will play death metal.
Yeah, like Black Sabbath or something.
At some point, that will happen.
You know, my kids and my wife are on their way to church, are already there, so you feel a little evil when you're in, you know, working... But, hey, not everybody's there. Some people are listening on their way to church. Some people are just not going. So, an interesting night of sports watching last night.
It was. After a couple of stinkers of games, I would say, for the, you know, in this weekend, there was...
We've only had three since Thursday.
Yeah.
Three good games since Thursday. Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Gonzaga, Syracuse, and Villanova, Kansas last night. And I thought... Kansas would be about an 8 to 10 point winner in that game. You remember me saying Villanova yesterday?
Even when Kansas got down.
Yeah.
They came right back, and I thought, well, that's because Villanova looked rattled, and I thought, well, that's it.
Thought they were going to fold. No. So, kudos to Villanova. They proved me wrong, and a lot of other people, because they're the ones that usually underachieve. They have this great season, they look so good, but they haven't played anybody, and then they get in the tournament and bounced out early. This time they're in the Final Four. And they've got a good team.
And now I will say there was a call that I don't know if it decided the game. I won't go that
far.
Yes. But there was about 35 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And a kid for Kansas, the Graham kid, who had been their best player all night.
Yeah.
Looks like he's diving after a loose ball. And to me, didn't look like there was any intent to trip or anything like that. I just thought he was going after the loose ball. The refs had to release a statement kind of explaining what happened. So I read that, saw that this morning, that it was a team foul, which was why there were no foul shots taken. Because they were in the Villanova was in the bonus.
So right.
They thought it would be a 1-1 free throw scenario, and then they didn't shoot free throws.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, so I didn't know
that.
So
they said it was a team foul because Kansas as a team had control of the ball. And then when they lost control of the ball and ran into a player... going after the ball, it counted as a team foul, which didn't require free throws. However, that quote-unquote team foul became Graham's fifth personal foul.
Right.
And he fouled out of the game on that. So, I don't know. I guess as a team foul, you have to assign it to someone. But the rule, it didn't clear it up for me. It kind of made it a little bit more murky for me that someone fouled out of the game on that call.
On a team foul. I thought... Well, I don't know about all that, but I thought it was a foul. I thought, yes, it's a loose ball, but the kid from Villanova, he's got his hands on it.
Yes.
He's leaned over, got it. And then you can't just dive into a player for the ball. Like, if there's a rebound coming down and one player, let's say, it's fallen to his hands. He doesn't have full control of it yet. But it has fallen to his hands. You can't come crashing into him for the ball, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of my take. There's going to be some contact on a loose ball. But if the loose ball's on the floor and you're all going for it together there, but it is kind of rolled to him, and then you're just, you know, coming in like sliding into second base. That's why I was fine with it and was like, no, that's probably a foul.
Not that Villanova didn't deserve to win. I'm not saying that. And I think they also showed how a good free throw shooting team, if you're a good free throw shooting team, how much that can mean.
Yes.
In games like this. I mean, that's what they won it.
Yeah. Won it at the line.
They won it at the line. They just didn't miss late.
Today, Syracuse, Virginia, and North Carolina, Notre Dame. Ugh, it has a chance to stink again. I mean, Syracuse, Virginia's been so good. Syracuse is, what, a 10 seed?
I'm sure they've played each other this year. Yeah. I don't know what the outcomes of those games were. I would assume Virginia won.
And then I would think North Carolina has a big upper hand on Notre Dame.
Although they split this year, I think.
Yeah. Has a chance to be. Yeah, I mean, because it's conference, then it's a little different. They know each other so well that it might not be a mismatch, but I don't know. It has also has a chance to be great.
Yeah.
Could be great. Hopefully it is.
I mean, I would think that Virginia and North Carolina.
What I don't understand, yesterday's fine. It's, what, 6:09 and 8:49?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. You know. It's Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. Same time, 6:09 and 8:49. You can't go at... Everything is always earlier on Sunday. Like, prime time starts at 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, everything goes earlier on Sunday. But, because you don't want to stay up till 11 o'clock at night on Sunday or 11:30 or something when you could just be at 5 o'clock, you know?
Now, I will say I watched the Oklahoma game or Oregon game was... You know, didn't end up being a great game, but I literally couldn't take my eyes off Buddy Hield.
Mm.
And as much as I think we all love Tyler Ulis, I adore Tyler Ulis. Buddy Hield's the player of the year.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is really good. Now, I don't know that he does much else other than score, whereas Tyler kind of
plays defense, does very well,
everything.
Yeah,
gets teammates more involved. But man, can he score. Just from anywhere with any guy in his face. It just doesn't matter.
He's so good at getting his shot. He can't be guarded almost.
No.
So it'll be Oklahoma and Villanova in one half.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to be good.
Yes.
That ought to be good. And then, I don't know. I thought it would be Kansas, North Carolina. Now, I don't know. Could be Villanova in the national championship. Who knows? 381-1313 is the number to call to get in here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on this Easter Sunday morning. We have Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry. Welcome
morning,
to the Dan
Terry.
And Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Happy Easter to both of you.
Same to you.
Same to you.
I'd like to make 3 points here. Kentucky, to put Kentucky fans out of their misery, Kentucky would have been hammered by North Carolina. SEC basketball is unwatchable. And if I was playing golf yesterday with three friends of mine, we just know as we're discussing this, no one and dones when the Sweet 16 rolled around, Elite Eight and Final Four. What does that tell you? And a word that's foreign to this area is senior.
You're talking about the teams that were left in the Sweet 16, the ones with experience? There weren't as many one and dones? Yeah.
To the Sweet 16, only one kid, and that was the forward from Duke.
Well, I mean, North Carolina's got...
I get that. There were 3 one-and-dones that won the national championship last year. So I don't know that. And then in 2012, there were 3 or 4 one-and-dones that won the national championship.
I think it just depends on how good they are.
It just depends on the team and the night. And I mean.
Well, you just look at Marcus Paige, senior. Buddy Hield, senior.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no doubt. Yeah.
Archie, I'm not going to say his name right, but the kid for Villanova that's played more games than anyone in a Villanova jersey.
My point is.
Yeah. Ryan Akadaka or something. Yeah.
My point is this: the one and done is not this isn't the genie out of the bottle. You can win with an experienced team, for heaven's sake.
Yes,
of course. And the most famous one and done this year that everyone talked about didn't turn down an NIT bid.
Yeah,
so it doesn't guarantee you anything.
No, nothing. And a lot of people, I really think there's an undercurrent here that people are just beginning to scratch their heads and say, is this the right way to do that? You don't need 5 high school Americans. You can do, 1 or 2, but and then to get a supporting cast, you can make a good run. But you don't need this turnstile to the D-League every year.
Well, I think there's a faction of Kentucky fans that have felt that way since the beginning, since Calipari. But...
My whole question to that is, though, so do you go out on the recruiting trail and say, well, this guy's not very good right now. He might be good in 3 years, so I'm going to recruit him just because he's not one and done. You still have to go after the best players. Don't you still want to do that?
Well, the other thing is, 4 Final Fours.
But you don't need to go after a horde of them.
But who are the other people that you go after? Someone that you say is like, well, they're not really good.
So we just want three of them. And then we'll
see. Don't know how you go about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a catch 22. Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult with John Calipari. It's just not going to happen. He's going to get as many of the good players as he can possibly get, and then it's just going to work itself out. They're either going to be Scal, or they're going to be Anthony Davis, you know, or Carl Towns, or.
But I also think that the way this tournament is set up, to me, Kansas has been the best team for the last 2 months.
Right,
and they're out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily that the best team wins. And that, Kansas had some seniors.
Actually, very seldom does the best team win that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, experience helps. There's no doubt about it. But it's clear that John Calipari's deal is we're going to start every year with very little experience. And hopefully by February, we've got enough experience to where we can make a run in March.
No, you're right.
That's the way it's going to be, I think. But
okay.
SEC basketball, though, does stink. Yes. You're right.
Yeah. Okay, enjoy your Sunday.
All right,
thank you.
Happy
Easter.
Happy Easter.
Speaking of SEC basketball, a lot of reports out there this morning that Kevin Stallings is going to go to Pitt.
Oh, really?
And you just heard on the ESPN radio before we came on that Rick Stansberry.
Yeah, he's going to Western.
He's going to Western Kentucky, which is a good hire for them. Mississippi State's been abysmal since they fired him.
Right. Mississippi State wasn't really that bad under Rick Stansberry.
No.
They might have some bad years here and there, but they weren't that bad. I think he probably would have done a little bit better.
Definitely than the Rick Ray character.
Yeah.
He was awful.
Yeah. So Western, I think that is good for them. Someone that's climbed his way up and then coming back down again.
And he's from Western Kentucky.
Right. So it could be something that works out for a long term for him. All right, we got Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you guys.
Hey, Steve.
You know, I think you were talking about the game times today.
Yes.
The reason why they're at the same time as they were yesterday is because tonight's games are on TBS.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If they were on CBS, I think you'd see them, you know, probably 3 or 4 o'clock. First one, and then maybe six.
Yeah,
for the second, because actually CBS has they have regular, you know,
like 60 minutes and
programming tonight. They've got, you know, their normal Sunday night lineup is not reruns. It's current shows. So
and that was the last game on CBS of the tournament because the Final Four is not on CBS.
Oh yeah.
Surprisingly, it's the first time that TBS will have the championship game, and they've had the Final Four the last couple years. But, they're going to have the title game this year for the first time.
Well, the good news for that is if that first game stinks, at halftime you can switch and watch 60 Minutes.
Yeah, I guess TBS decided, well, we'll have the basketball rather than the, you know, reruns of the Big Bang Theory. So.
Right. yeah, because it's on cable, they can go late like that. You're right. I mean, if it was on CBS, there's no doubt it would be earlier. They would not make it so late. But still, just Sunday night in general, I think you run the risk ratings-wise. You know, I think you're probably going to have more viewers stick around even if the game isn't that great. If you're not thinking about whether or not going to bed, you know. Maybe I'll go to bed. No, this game's good. I'll stay up, you know. But, all right, I'm out.
Yeah.
So, Saturday night, that's not the case, you know. A little different. So, it's just curious to me.
About yesterday or this weekend is, you know, Villanova, I was looking, and of course, they're 2-0 this time in Kentucky, going now to the Final Four, the second time that Jay Wright has taken him there. And, you know, I went back and looked the last time that Villanova played an NCAA tournament in Kentucky was in 85 when they were in the finals.
Yeah.
They won.
And of course, beat Memphis and then beat Georgetown for the title. So I think Villanova is going to be lobbying to play all their NCAA games in Kentucky.
Well, that was when Jim Nance, you know, when the buzzer sounded, Jim Nance and Holy Massimino, yeah. Which clearly he had thought about the night before in his hotel. He had written down, no, that one's no good. The right stuff. No. Just... Holy Massimino, I got it.
He's always got one of those ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were also, from a shooting standpoint, they were 18 or 19 from the line yesterday, and they were also 18 for 19 in the game on Thursday. So, you know, if you tried to foul them, trying to catch up, they pretty much shut the door on you from the free throw line.
Yeah, they put you away, no doubt about it. All right, Steve, anything else?
No. You guys have a good day.
All right,
Happy
you
Easter,
too. Happy
you.
Easter. 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. A few other things quickly to mention right off the top before we go to break is Jen Smith at 10 o'clock will join us. UK football yesterday had a scrimmage. Some stuff to talk about coming out of that.
And Brent, she'll wrap up the UK women's season for us, too.
Also, and Brent Ingram at 10:30. He is SID for UK baseball. Big win for the for the baseball team yesterday, beating number one Florida and ending the Gators' 17-game win streak. So series deciding game three today at 1 o'clock out there at the Cliff. We'll talk about that a little bit and more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. No time to
have you lurking. The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Matthew Lawrence here, and you and I have something in common. We love sports and we love movies. I've had DirecTV for 7 years because they offer the most sports and a huge selection of on-demand movies at no extra charge. Now, the best way to get DirecTV? From my friends at Impact Satellite, and here's why. First, you can get a $100 Visa gift card when they sign you up for new DirecTV service. Second, you might be eligible for another $100 Visa gift card only from Impact Satellite if you're a Sam's Club or Costco member. Contact Impact Satellite for details. When you get new DirecTV service, you need to do it through Impact Satellite because they'll make sure you save as much money as possible. Impact Satellite is a local company. Their local installers are on time and do the job right, and they specialize in helping you select the right viewing package. Impact Satellite in Georgetown, 104 Lawson Drive between Walmart and 84 Lumber. Or call them at 502-867-0157. Tell them I sent you. Save an extra $10 per month for the first 10 months.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I'm going to tell you something that the insurance industry is going to be absolutely furious about me sharing with you. Most consumers, year in and year out, just renew their existing insurance policies blindly. You may not even notice the rate increases, but they're there. Over the years, you are paying way too much needlessly. My suggestion, each year, get a new quote from 3 independent agents. And don't use the online services. They're owned by insurance companies. If all of us did this every year, we would save billions of dollars in business, life, disability, and auto premiums. And if your agent doesn't add uninsured motorists to your policy, don't buy from them. They're not on your side. At Morgan & Morgan, we represent consumers. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com.
Offices, Lexington.
Catch the Dan and Mary Jo Show, Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Uncle Matteo's is a place where you build the pizza without getting your hands dirty. You talk directly to the pizza maker. Tell them exactly what you want. A little more of this, a little less of that. And can I add that too? Until it's exactly how you want. Uncle Matteo's is the place with almost limitless options. First, you choose whether you want a handmade pizza, gourmet salad, or a delicious foldwich. Our pizza has 3 different dough options, 6 different sauce options, and over 45 different cheese, meat, and veggie toppings. We make our own dough every day. Marinate and grill our chicken and steak in-house every morning. Real fresh, real fast. Online ordering and catering available on Euclid next to Kroger.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So it's an Easter Sunday, and you know, it's still a big sports day today at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
We should be watching the UK women's basketball team play for a trip to the Final Four.
I know.
But instead, it'll be Stanford and Washington right over here at Rupp Arena at 1 o'clock in the regional final. You got to think, what, five people are there?
Yeah, I know. Well, the
Washington
Ratliff Twins
and Stanford. I mean,
the Ratliff Twins and their family. And then, who knows?
Seattle and Cali.
Yeah.
In Lexington. Women's basketball. Easter Sunday, 1 o'clock. Whew.
Yeah.
That's going to be rough. That's going to be rough. However, 1 o'clock at Cliff Hagan Stadium, nice weather. You know,
it sounds like the rain and stuff is supposed to hold off till later.
Late, yeah. So that should be pretty good. I went to that game yesterday, and it was gorgeous, beautiful day, and it was packed.
And which we can see because Dan is still sunburned.
Like a lobster.
Let's not sugarcoat it here.
Yeah,
probably should have had some sunscreen on. You've got a watch line.
Yes, yes. And sunglass lines on the eyes.
Yeah,
yeah. Raccoon. And I knew it was happening. Like, it wasn't a surprise to me.
Yeah. As it was burning.
Yeah, it was a total, yeah, I'm going to be sunburned. Now, how are the kids? Are they going to be okay? What do I need to do here? So they got a little bit, but nothing like me. Yeah. Nothing like me. The thing was, I went from here, not home, but straight to another place, and then straight from that place to the ball game. And so I never had a chance to, like, put on shorts, a hat.
Sunscreen.
Yeah. So the kids are wearing long pants, and they even have long sleeve shirts on. And I mean, there was
because when they left the house, it was chilly.
Yeah, there was frost on the ground.
Yeah.
When I left the house. I mean, there was a portion of my back deck that had, like, ice on it. So by the time we get to the game at 1:30, 1:45, I've got on khakis, you know.
Yeah.
I've got those things pulled up to my knees. I'm sweating over here. The plastic seats just, you know, into your back. And but I made sure to put some water on their heads because the top of their heads felt like Arizona asphalt. I mean, it was hot.
And then they liked that, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They loved to get the water on the heads. Yeah. I was like, one of them said to me, "Daddy, I'm not going to have to take a shower tonight. I've bathed in the water fountain here at the ballpark. We're good." So, but it was a great game because in the first couple innings, they're facing like the potential number one draft pick for Major League Baseball, A.J. Puck, the Florida Gators ace. He throws like 100 miles per hour. And Evan White for UK cranks one out on him, just rockets it out to left field. And so UK's got a 1-0 lead. And then...
And Dorian, right?
Yeah, I think the next inning it was, two men get on, and Dorian Hairston just gets a hold of one. I mean, it's one of those where the ball is just... It's got such wicked spin on it. He has smacked it so hard, smoked it, line drive, opposite field shot out to the cliff, like where the cliff dwellers hang, you know, that little porch over there. So right into those guys. And so now it's 4-1. And it was 7-1 at one point. And the thing that was wearing us out, and I went with some friends, and it was driving them nuts, is right behind us sitting was a father and his teenage son who were Florida fans. But from Ohio. They had Ohio accents. They talked about Ohio things. And they were big-time Florida fans. And they would do stuff like boo the... some of the players, like a pitcher for Kentucky, would exit and then no one would come on. They'd be booing the kid.
Gosh.
And they're just the obnoxiousness of it, you know? Like, there was nothing that anyone around them was doing that was mean-spirited towards Florida. They're just cheering good plays for Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know? They would take digs and stuff. Yeah, you know, just...
Well, serves them right, then, that they made the trip down to watch Florida get beat.
Yes. Just so obnoxious. At one point, the wife of my friend, she's a little bit older than me. And she's raised like three boys. They've all played sports and stuff. So she's been to a ton of games. And she's had it with this guy over here. And she just turns around and goes, Get over it, buddy. It was great. And then at another point, my friend gets up and he's clapping while the guy is booing. Like, the pitcher for Kentucky's coming out, Dustin Beggs, who went to 6-0, by the way. Won his first six starts of the season. He pitched pretty good.
This is the first time since, what, 0-2 or something like that, that a pitcher's done that here?
Right. So he is, he's done well, but they've gotten to him. They put three on the board, or four maybe at that point on the board. They get to him, and so take him out. So people are standing up and clapping for him, and they're yelling because Gary Henderson has made, like, they've had, like, three mound visits or something. They're stalling before they take him out. So this guy's like, come on, throw the ball already. All day long. And he is just, it's just wearing us out. So then they take him out and they bring the next kid in. So as the kid is walking in, that's when this guy from Florida, or from Ohio that loves Florida, stands up and boo, boo. Some other friend gets up and he starts clapping and kind of looks at him and goes, real classy, booing college kids. It's the way to do it. Oh, it was a good time. So they win 7-4 today at 1 o'clock. Florida and Kentucky play. I mean, Kentucky has won a series from the number one team each of the last 2 years. Like last year, they beat LSU, ranked number one, took two or three from them. The year before that, 2014, South Carolina was number one.
Yeah,
they had won the World Series the year before, and they came in ranked number one. And Kentucky swept them. Didn't just beat them, swept them. So Kentucky has a really good shot today, I think, to take this series.
And this, you know, we touched a little earlier on, had a caller talk about how terrible SEC basketball is. Mm. Just the opposite when you're talking about baseball.
Like, and football.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
and women's basketball. And every other sport.
South Carolina got beat, too.
But Tennessee is in the Elite Eight.
I know. That surprised me.
No, just about every other sport.
Yes.
The SEC is known, softball, as one of the dominant conferences in that sport. Football, no question.
Yeah.
Softball, women's basketball. What did women's basketball get, like 8 or 9 teams in? They're the leader. They're the top conference. Gymnastics is phenomenal. Just whatever it is except men's basketball. Atrocious. They brought in, what's his name, Mike Trangese from the Big East. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, brought him in to advise, to help them build up the conference. But here is one of the things. The South is known for its athletes. The South has arguably the best collection of athletes concentrated in, you know, the South, the Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina.
Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi.
Louisiana.
Tennessee. So, when it comes to basketball, though, there are some good basketball players, but not as many because they don't play basketball. They play football, they play baseball, they run track. Just basketball is not as big of a deal in the South. It's just not. I've lived down there and covered it in high school. Nobody shows up to the high school games. There aren't tons of leagues and lots of players. There's nothing to look up to. There's no idolism towards a team like Kentucky or players or something like that. There's nothing like that. They just don't care. Baseball, packed. Absolutely packed for games. Football, yeah, it's crazy. Basketball, don't care. Don't give a darn.
And if there are good players, they go to Kentucky anyway. A la Archie Goodwin, Malik Monk, those guys. And, you know, they end up coming to Kentucky.
They're not going to Auburn. You can see that.
And I think you see them trying, because if you go down the list of coaches that are in the league now.
Accomplished people.
And even those guys are finding it really difficult to recruit to those schools.
Yeah. There's just not, I mean, my gosh. Ben Simmons at LSU. Good grief. I mean, if that's not a better example of what I don't want.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer is. Just don't know. They tried scheduling. doing that, I mean, all that does is it gets you beat. So I don't know what the answer is, but hopefully Mike Trangese does. We'll see. 381-1313 is the number to call. We'll be back with more here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-8-9-10-4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you're a parent like me, I'm sure that you are looking for a way to balance device time and interpersonal time in your home. The answer is Circle, the device pit stop in Lexington, has a new breakthrough in cyber device technology. It's Circle with Disney. Circle is a device that connects to your home Wi-Fi. Circle enables you to help manage device time limits. You can pause devices for homework, dinner, and family time. Also with Circle, kids and devices can have a bedtime too, and those cause I said so moments will become an opportunity to create balance. Circle allows you to manage every device in your home with an app on your smartphone. Circle is friendly, helpful, and simple to use. And best of all, Circle is tamper-proof. Circle was developed by families for families. You can see Circle at Device Pit Stop.
Learn more about Circle and all of its features and even give it a test drive at Device Pit Stop. We are located in the Zandale Shopping Center at 2220 Nicholasville Road.
You gotta go to the pit stop for sure!
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Joe Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Happy Easter Sunday. What are your Easter memories, like your favorite memories from Easter childhood? Or what do you remember? Did you get, like, did they say the Easter Bunny brought you this, or did you get a basket? Or
yes, got a basket. But I would say probably the favorite thing is dyeing Easter eggs at my grandma and grandpa's house. That's probably my favorite Easter memory.
That's what I hate about Easter. Is the dying of the Easter eggs.
Right, because you have to make hard-boiled eggs first, which is like such a pain in the butt.
But then the vinegar. I guess they do it different now, but I grew up on vinegar used to dye eggs. And it made me so sick of vinegar, I can't get around it. If I smell it, it's like, I'm gagging. I just can't. Like if I go to a fish, you know, place, somebody's got malt vinegar out for their fish, I have to move if it's near me. I can't. You've ruined my meal, sir.
Really?
Yeah. It's bad news.
So, like, if I eat spinach, just cooked spinach, I dump.
Or greens.
Yeah, yeah. Dump a ton of vinegar on
it. Oh, that will make me sick.
I put it in my chili. Love vinegar in chili.
Really? I've never heard of that one. Yeah. Vinegar in chili.
Yeah.
Now, see, my mom would use vinegar to dye the eggs, and it would be a deal. We would do, you know, it was a tradition. We would dye the eggs every year, and then you'd have the hard-boiled eggs that are all different colors and smell like vinegar all around the house. So I can't stand it.
Do you do it now?
No.
I will say I have.
My mother does with my grandkids, so they'll hate vinegar too. Thanks.
All I wanted was kids that grew up loving vinegar.
I mean, don't they have simple stuff now? Don't you just wrap it in something and then it's done, right?
I'm sure. Well, I don't know. I have been a really, really terrible parent when it comes to Easter traditions. Like, if you ask Sam right now, there's not an Easter tradition. He's got nothing. In fact, he is with some friends in Williamsburg, Virginia for
spring break. Yeah.
And so he's with, they went to his friend's grandparents' house. And I got a text from Sam that said, these kids get $10 in their Easter eggs. like I've never done. He's like,
you horrible woman.
Right, this is unbelievable. Is this what's supposed to happen? You get $10?
I've missed out on my childhood.
He's like, by my calculations, you owe me $100.
We do an Easter egg hunt. My parents put together an Easter egg hunt. Or we do somewhere. We do an Easter egg hunt. They know Easter egg hunt's coming every Easter. But it's just a lot of candy. There's no money involved. Definitely not going down that road. And then they get a basket, a couple things. You know, maybe more candy or just little things.
We always got coloring books and bubbles and stuff like that in our baskets.
Stuff for you to go play out on Easter.
Yeah.
Get out of the house. Go play. Today will be one of those perfect Easter days where they can get out of the house and go play. You know, we talked yesterday on the show about Mike Krzyzewski and him saying, you know, lying, saying, no, I didn't say that to him. Whatever he says, that's not what I said. Then CBS released the video. It's clear Krzyzewski's lying. And now Krzyzewski has turned around and apologized to Dana Altman, the Oregon head coach. Said, sorry.
Is there anything more disingenuous? I mean, anything more disingenuous than that?
No.
And this is from a guy who's, you know, what if Dana Altman, after that game, had gone up to Grayson Allen and said, you're too good of a guy to keep tripping people.
Right.
You're too good of a player to be such a punk.
Yeah. Right. Krzyzewski would have lost it.
Yes.
He would have lost it. He would have had a rant. He would have had a high horse, a principle to cite. He would have gone on a, you know, 5-minute lecture to everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He does it. Well, it's okay.
Now, I will say I do feel like he has taken some backlash for this one, finally.
Yes. Usually he gets away with everything.
Yeah, there's a couple columns written calling him out for this one. And
rightfully so.
Yes.
He should get a little heat for this one.
Now, I feel like Bill Self has taken some heat for not getting this Kansas team to the Final Four, which I tend to disagree with. Just like, you know, Calipari took, you know, will and has, I'm sure, taken some heat for the early exit this year. But gosh, the way this tournament is set up, you know, the best team just doesn't, that's not how it works.
Villanova was pretty good.
And to get
it went down to the end.
To win the championship, you've got to beat, I mean, if you're a high seed, you've really still got to beat three really good teams in a row to get there. At least, maybe four, maybe five, depending on what seed you are. I mean, if you're Kentucky as a 4 seed paired up against that 5 seed, like, their road would have been, you've got to beat 5 really good teams in a row to win the national championship. That doesn't make them not a good team if they didn't win 5 straight against really good other teams.
The tournament is so hard. So much is made about just the tournament. Just the tournament.
But Izzo won't take any crap, I don't feel like.
No. No, he won't get anything for that.
No.
It's one of those things. If I was thinking about our conversation yesterday with Sean Woods, Morehead State. They're in the CBI championship. So they're in a tournament championship, and it's going to be on ESPNU. Maybe that helps him. I don't know. But for him, as his career, what I'm talking about as a coach, Had he made it into this tournament and won one game, he's got offers somewhere. Yeah. We're talking about him as a potential candidate for this job, or this job. Maybe with being on ESPNU, we still will. But had they made the tournament, that's what we'd have heard. And it was...
Even not winning a game in the tournament, just making the tournament.
Right. Like Stephen F. Austin's coach, gone. He's already Rutgers' new coach, right? He's that was it. Before the tournament's even over, he's got a new job. The tournament is such a big deal. So much is made out of it that the regular season just doesn't mean as much. And what Kansas did during the regular season just, doesn't mean quite as much because they were the number one overall seed and didn't play for the national championship. It's just such a tough tournament. It's hard, I think, to judge everything just on that. I can remember doing a story on John Velasquez, the jockey. What is horse racing all about? It's the Kentucky Derby, mm-hmm. The Triple Crown. Well, you have to win the Kentucky Derby to even be in the running for the Triple Crown. I mean, if you win the Belmont and you didn't win any of the other races,
Yep.
All right. John Velasquez has had a 25-year Hall of Fame racing career. It took him most of it to win a Derby. He would go. He had 3 years in a row the horse he was riding was scratched the week of or the day before the Derby. 3 years in a row. He is wide.
And all was on good horses.
Yes. Yeah. Escondorea, Quality Road, Uncle Mo.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has always thought he is one of the best in the business. He's one of the best riders there is. But it just didn't happen for him. In order for him to win, do you remember him winning on Animal Kingdom? John Velasquez, how that happened. Robbie Alvarado was riding Animal Kingdom.
Right.
He was the one who was going to ride Animal Kingdom. Alvarado got hurt in a race a couple days before something. And he was cleared to ride. He rode on Derby Day in another race, but the connections were just like, it's too much of a risk. We're too worried about it. Robbie, we're sorry, but we're not going to put you on this horse. And put John Velasquez on a horse. He had never ridden Animal Kingdom, ever. He wins the Kentucky Derby. Things change for him. They shouldn't have changed that dramatically, but it just did. And he said, well, because I hadn't won the Derby to that point. No, I didn't judge my career on one race. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many races I ride? My whole career is much bigger, larger than one race on one Saturday once a year. But that's what it comes down to for so many. Calvin Burrell, what's he known for? Winning the Kentucky Derby three times. And it's just the way it is. That's what this tournament is. It's like the Kentucky Derby. If you don't do well in that tournament, then it's, you're an underachiever. You haven't done enough. Tom Izzo, you kidding me? Fire him. Why don't you fire him? Get rid of him. Yeah. See where the program goes. Fire Bill Self. Just see what happens there at Kansas.
Yeah.
Why not just get rid of John Calipari, too? Who needs four Final Fours in 6 years? Who needs that? One and done. Get out of here. This season was good by Kentucky standards because the team, what John Calipari had, and what it became was pretty good. And Tyler Ulis was special, and Jamal Murray was special. But you don't even make it to the Sweet 16. Underachiever.
It is what it is. It's not fair. And some of those coaches that get those bigger jobs, it's based off winning a conference tournament in a small one-bid league.
Yeah.
And then it sometimes doesn't even matter what you do once you get to the NCAA tournament. Now, if you win one game, for sure you're getting an offer.
Right.
Based on one game.
That's crazy.
It's kind of why I like what Shaka Smart did with his whole career.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Joe from Paris on the line. You can jump on the line too, 381-1313, and join us on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Why did we call our new checking account the Republic Bank Easy Checking Account? That's an easy one. You never have to keep a minimum balance or pay a monthly fee. You also get free bill pay and free mobile and online banking. We told you this was easy. Get the Republic Easy Checking Account today. Visit republicbank.com or your nearest Republic Banking Center. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could give you two pieces of advice in choosing the law firm to represent you for your injuries, it would be simple. Pick a firm that's been around a long time. I've seen so many come and go. And pick a firm with the financial strength to give you the best chance to be fully compensated for what has been taken from you. Our battles have been against the establishment, tobacco companies, the pharmaceutical industry, insurance companies, and bully corporations. We advance on behalf of our clients millions of dollars, sometimes $1 million in a single case, to fight the giants. Whether it's a car crash case, workers' compensation, medical malpractice, or an insurance dispute, you need a firm which can match the other side dollar for dollar, toe to toe, so that you have a fighting chance. For 30 years, we've represented the people, not the powerful. Let us fight for you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Now learn from your mother or
spend your days biting your own. The horse racing yesterday, Gun Runner, blew away the field in the Louisiana Derby.
And it is not the same caller. It's not the same guy on the call.
Oh, not the same guy on the call. Right, right. So Gun Runner jumps to number one on the Derby points list. The UAE Derby in Dubai, it was Japanese entry Laney. I'm not sure. Yeah. Laney. But a son of Tappet, bred in Kentucky, but trained in Japan. They said, going to the Derby. If everything looks good, we're going to the Derby. So that would be the UAE Derby winner. And then California Chrome won by nearly four lengths in the World Cup. The five-year-old and 2014 Kentucky Derby winner becomes North America's all-time leader in thoroughbred earnings with a $6 million payday. California Chrome now at $12.5 million in career or earnings. You know, a five-year-old horse, which means racing since two-year-old. Passes Curlin. Curlin had $10.5 million in career earnings. So now it's California Chrome.
Yep. What a great horse.
No doubt. No doubt. Joe is on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Boy, y'all had good Easters. You know that?
Oh, well,
we did.
One year I got three marbles, a green army man, half an almond joy with no almond on it, and a pea with no head.
Wait a minute. You said half an almond joy with no almonds on it. That's just called mounds, right?
Yeah, that's basically it. And this is on a 75-acre farm. I have to find this stuff.
What did you ever do to the Easter Bunny?
Oh, I ate him a long time ago. Hey, you know, the reason I'm calling, I always like a little levity, you know. But, man, I was so disappointed in Kentucky Hoops team last night. I mean, it's like they couldn't buy a basket, could they?
No.
Nope.
And they couldn't stop Washington from scoring at all.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, if if Kentucky had hit their shots, they could have stayed in that game. But they just
for sure.
I mean, nothing was dropping. I mean, it was just unbelievable. You know, I don't know if they're starstruck again or what, but hey, it looks good. Next year, Kentucky should be loaded. Let's hope the Hoops team can keep going. You know, and Matthew Mitchell and all the girls, I should say women. Hope y'all have a great summer and bring it back. Got to go, guys. See y'all later.
All right.
Thank
happy
you,
Easter.
Joe. Happy Easter. Yeah, well, they've got pretty much everybody coming back except
Janae
Thompson.
Janae was the only senior. That was it. So Macy Moore's a freshman. Taylor Murray's a freshman. You got Evelyn Akator coming back. Batuli Kamara is a freshman. Alexis Jennings is back. Alyssa Rice is back. Did we say Mikayla Epps? Mm-hmm. Mikayla Epps is back. Did we say Mikayla Epps? Mikayla Epps is back. Mikayla Epps is, she's coming back
yes.
next year. That's important. And then they've got a couple of recruits coming in. I mean, goodness gracious, the freshmen this year, if you think about it, like if you want to put, once again, we talk about the tournament and that the whole thing's about the tournament. Well, yes, it is. But also, if you look at what happened, do you remember Kyven Gooden-Rogers left the team? So did, what's the girl's name from Chicago? She was teammates with Janae Thompson in high school. She's a really good player.
I know, but they lost.
The guard. She left, too. I can't think of her name. I'm sorry.
I know.
And then the other player that they got who was a transfer from Oregon, she got kicked off of Oregon's team. She was like a Pac-12 freshman of the year or all freshman team performer. She got kicked off of that team. She came here. She never even played a game, and she got kicked off Kentucky's team. Now she's at Ole Miss with the former assistant at Kentucky. Boy, my memory is bad.
I know.
What is the guy's name who's the head coach at Ole Miss who was here, and his dad is the head coach at MTSU, the women's team there? Thank God Jen Smith is on in like 10 minutes because she knows all those names right off the top of her head. I can't think of not one of them. So three players, though, the whole point is that before the season even began,
yes,
you're looking at three players who are gone from the team. And you're thinking, what is going on over there? What's beneath this? Matthew Mitchell was saying each thing is its own individual thing. It's not a problem that some epidemic across
the Lynae Harper.
Lynae Harper, God. Yes. That's it. Thank you. It's not an epidemic. It's just each individual has something that's happened. Do you remember, was it the Duke game or the Baylor game? Kentucky is playing maybe the Louisville game. It might have even been in Rupp Arena, but it was on TV, and Lynae Harper and Kyven Gooden-Rogers are sitting behind
yes.
the Kentucky bench.
Yes.
And this is after they left. They've
that
said,
was
we're
at
not,
Memorial.
We're not on mm-hmm. this team anymore, and they're right behind the bench, which was interesting. And that even made it more so. You're thinking, wow, this is
yes.
this is bad news. And then so Kentucky was down to a short bench.
I think they only have 9 scholarship players.
Yeah, and you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a long, tough road.
Yeah.
They wind up getting a 3 seed. They advance past the opening weekend and get to Rupp Arena and play in the Sweet 16. So, I mean, pretty good, all things considered, from the beginning of the year till now. It's just unfortunate they couldn't buy a shot. So, that stinks. We'll talk a little bit about that with Jen Smith on the other side of the break from the Lexington Herald Leader. She was covering the UK women's basketball team up until Friday night. And
now
then
she's in
she
full
turned,
football mode.
Turned around Saturday morning and headed over to Commonwealth Stadium for a open practice and a scrimmage that folks were able to go see. C.J. Conrad caught a couple touchdowns in the scrimmage. Drew Barker, Jen Smith tweeted out that he looked impressive. He led a pair of 70-yard scoring drives. And then, you know, we didn't even talk yesterday about Coach Darren Henshaw's comments this week where he talked about the footwork and kind of took a jab. I don't know what they were doing here before, but that ain't up to snuff. The footwork is not good. And because of that, you get the stuff that you've seen here before, like a ball sailing and you throw it 50 yards over your target's head.
Watching some of the video from practice yesterday, footwork was a big thing that they were yeah. working on with the quarterbacks.
So, but in doing that, you know, Darren Henshaw kind of let everybody know that what was going on here last year was not what's going to go on moving forward. They didn't have the right philosophy, the right strategy on, because he compared, you know, well, that's why you see Tom Brady do well. That's why you see Peyton Manning do well. And that's what we're teaching these guys. We'll talk more UK football with Jen Smith next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So you see, son, good manners are important. Should I go through it again?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open, don't speak with your mouth full, keep your elbows off the table. Share your things, play nice, and generally treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But 2 minutes twice a day, making sure they brush their teeth, is easier. And it could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. Visit 2min2x.org to find out more. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
I'm here with Wes Lancaster of Bluegrass Auto Body. You've worked on my cars twice, the best work I've ever had done.
Well, I appreciate that, Matthew. Your story isn't uncommon. Usually when we work on someone's car the first time, they will come back when they need us. Being in business for 50 years will help build a good reputation.
I can't speak highly enough about Bluegrass Auto Body. You can either go to the location at High Street or on Russio Way. Either way, it'll be the best work you've ever had done. If someone runs into you, you run into Bluegrass Auto Body.
You know, I really need some new tires for my truck.
Got it.
And I'd love to get my windows tinted.
Got it.
Summer is coming, so a remote starter to cool down my ride would be awesome.
Got it.
A few new accessories for my truck would make it look so much better.
Got it.
Well, where'd you get all of it?
Truck and Auto Extras.
At Truck and Auto Extras, anything you want for your truck or car, they got it. Don't drive north, south, or west. Head east to 1098 East New Circle Road. Truck and Auto Extras.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
My car goes a-reamba. Can you fix that?
At Fleet Doc, we're a true one-stop shop for your vehicle. From the largest selection of tires in the city to maintenance and repairs. Our techs talk to you in a way you can understand. And we get the job done right at a fair price. Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Reamba.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
At Two Men in a Truck, we know moving is tough, but we make it easy. Whether your move is big or small, we'll make it a smooth one. We're the movers who care, and we'll prove it with our 96% referral rate and courteous professional movers. For your next move, call Two Men in a Truck Lexington, 859-335-6683.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Mark Robbins. Good morning. The Villanova Wildcats wake up as a Final Four team this morning after beating top tournament seed Kansas 64-59 to win the South Regional. Wildcats guard Ryan Archie Diacono certainly enjoyed a special birthday present.
It was probably the best birthday I've had in my life, but at the end of the game, we were up three, and we said we were going to foul under a certain amount of time, and I went for a steal just to, even if we got a foul, we'd still have to get the ball back whether we were up one or two. But that was a big time dive by Mikhail Bridges, and we just called timeout. And from that point on, I think it was just surreal, the whole feeling of us making free throws and clinching the game.
Oklahoma also earning a spot at the Final Four, beating Oregon to win the West 80-68, a game in which the Sooners never trailed in. Buddy Hield leading the way with 37. Two other spots at the Final Four in Houston to be determined today. Syracuse meeting Virginia in the Midwest Regional Final, while top seed North Carolina in the East tries to knock off number 6 Notre Dame. Two regional finals in the NCAA Women's Tournament, both on ESPN and the Watch ESPN app. One Eastern for Washington against Stanford, followed at 3:30 by Syracuse against Tennessee. Saturday was a day of rest for several members of the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs rested LaMarcus Aldridge, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, and Tony Parker. The end result, a 111-92 loss at Oklahoma City Kevin Durant with 31 points, the 58th straight time he scored at least 20. And on the ice, St. Louis with a fourth straight shutout, 4-0 over the Capitals. Jake Allen with 32 saves.
Monday on Mike and Mike, the Final Four will be set. Hall of Famer Jim Calhoun and College Game Day's Reese Davis will be in studio. Plus, the Warriors' quest for 73 continues. It's Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Matthew Lawrence here, and you and I have something in common. We love sports and we love movies. I've had DirecTV for 7 years because they offer the most sports and a huge selection of on-demand movies at no extra charge. Now, the best way to get DirecTV? From my friends at Impact Satellite, and here's why. First, you can get a $100 Visa gift card when they sign you up for new DirecTV service. Second, you might be eligible for another $100 Visa gift card only from Impact Satellite if you're a Sam's Club or Costco member. Contact Impact Satellite for details. When you get new DirecTV service, you need to do it through Impact Satellite because they'll make sure you save as much money as possible. Impact Satellite is a local company. Their local installers are on time and do the job right, and they specialize in helping you select the right viewing package. Impact Satellite in Georgetown, 104 Lawson Drive between Walmart and 84 Lumber, or call them at 502-867-0157. Tell them I sent you, save an extra $10 per month for the first 10 months.
How's everything taste tonight, folks?
Oh, excellent.
It's really good. Where did the pork come from?
As a chef, it's important to know where your food comes from. That's why we buy local and Kentucky-raised food.
We're the Ragland family from LaRue County, Kentucky. We have farmed on Shady Rest Farm since 1925. We believe in what we produce, we feed it to our own family, and we're happy to share it with your family. Whether it's at your local market or your favorite restaurant, we provide the best quality pork for our consumers. Kentucky Farm Families, feeding Kentucky,
feeding the world.
Following is an advertisement.
When we built ForThePeople.com, it was designed to be your consumer website. A place to go to learn about your legal rights. It was also built to protect you before an accident occurs. One of the most helpful parts of our site is warnings about unsafe drugs, products, and medical devices. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Right now, we're investigating, and in some cases, actually litigating cases involving some of these drugs you may be currently taking or have taken in the past, and likewise, certain medical devices. I invite you to visit ForThePeople.com now and from time to time to educate yourself and hopefully protect you and your family. This site was built for you, the consumer. And remember this, I'm not just a lawyer, I'm your lawyer. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes real. Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
Let's get serious for a minute, because Fleet Doc has. They just hired Brian Dahl, one of the top diesel mechanics in the state of Kentucky. What does that mean to you? Fleet Doc is now truly your one-stop shop for fleet vehicles.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bingo, bingo.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Welcome back to the Dan and Mary Joe Show. Happy Easter Sunday. And, you know, I asked Josh, I missed it. Did you call our guest? Did you get her on the phone? Like, yeah, I got her. Because I didn't hear him say, just living the dream.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You caught it. All right. Yeah, if you don't know, if you're ever a guest on this show, you will know. Josh responds with, he says, hey, how you doing? Are you still ready for your interview today? And they're like, yeah, good, you know, I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm just living the dream.
Just living that dream.
Yeah.
Jen Smith's been on more than once, so
she's heard
she
it more than once. Yeah,
that.
She loves, I'm sure, to hear Josh's funny little line there.
She always
laughs. Yeah, I'm sure
it's not real. It's not a genuine laugh.
No, it's a. Yeah, that's funny. You're a funny guy. It's Easter Sunday. I shouldn't give Josh a hard time. I'm sorry, Josh. I'm sorry. Well, Jen is on the line. Let's get right to her. Good morning, Jen. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
How's Easter go for the kiddos? Do they get bunnies? Do they get candy? Do they get toys? What do they get? Do you do an Easter egg hunt?
All of the above.
All of the above, yes. Yeah. That's great.
So they are, in fact, living the dream.
Mm.
Much more so than us this morning, yes.
No doubt. Go ahead, Mary Jo. Go ahead.
You were probably not expecting football to be your only beat this past Friday. I'm assuming you thought you'd be covering another game today. What went wrong?
I think they hit a team that's hitting its stride. I think that Washington has some really interesting players with some strange skill sets. They're sort of taking down two really big-time programs, you know, bigger-time programs on their home floors. I mean, I don't know that anybody has ever seen a 6'2" bigger girl that can hit a three-pointer without jumping. I don't know that anyone's ever seen a girl like that who's able to get 17 defensive rebounds in a game.
Yeah.
No.
You know, I think that Kentucky probably did not have its best defensive effort, and it really struggled offensively to start the game and got behind against a team that it couldn't catch up to. It was kind of crazy. I would not have predicted that, though.
Yeah, that Osahor, is that her?
Yeah.
To be her size – and to be as athletic as she was, and then to also shoot a three-pointer with her wrist and nothing else.
Yeah.
There must be a lot of power in those arms.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just amazed by it. You don't see male players with a lot more power maybe than some female players that are able to do that.
But, no, I've never seen any player, period, be able to do what she did. It was the first time I saw it, I went, what was that? Had to rewind it to watch it again. And then she did it like four more times.
She missed the first two, and I thought, oh, good Lord, she really should stop trying to shoot that. And
right.
She hit four, and I was like, okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, that was my first thought because I knew nothing about Washington basketball. And when she shot those first two and missed, I thought, their coach has got to be livid. That can't be the shot that he wants. And then she hits four threes. But you had to think that once, you know, after that game is over, Kentucky knows its season is over. But then Notre Dame gets beat. You kind of go back and look like, my gosh, they're in Lexington for the first four games. Don't have to go through a number one seed or a number two seed to get to the final four.
They would have been the highest seed moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have been a favorite to get to the championship game now based on the way that the brackets are set up. So you have to think that this might have been their best chance to get to a final four. I mean, perhaps next year where they're also could have a chance to play in Lexington. But, I mean, you know, this is the most clear-cut non-UConn path they've ever had to the Final Four, and it didn't work. You have to, I think, as a sports fan, there are a lot of people in town wondering if maybe they can't get to that level, and maybe this is the stuff that they hear that sort of, you know, motivates them to get there. Who knows? But it was sort of fascinating to see how close they could have come, and then, you know, they lost to just a strange team on a strange night for them.
Does Lexington know when it's having its next regional? Is it next year already?
Yeah, it's contracted to host the next two.
The next two. Okay.
Yeah, so they got a 3-year deal with the NCAA, and they're really the only city in the country that's gotten that, in the last 10 years. So, you know, I mean, even like Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is a pretty regular host for the Connecticut bracket, part of the bracket, is, you know, isn't guaranteed a 3-year. So, they really liked whatever Lexington put out there, and you know, committed to a 3-year region for them. So, you know, I'm a little curious what the crowd will be like today. I can't imagine there will be more than 1,000 people there to see two Pac-12 teams at 1 o'clock on Easter Sunday.
On the Eastern time zone, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure that will help their numbers at all, and, you know, we'll see.
What did you think of the atmosphere? What was the feeling about the atmosphere from UK's side of things? Is their perspective disappointment, encouragement? What could you tell?
You know, I don't know that they really came out. I was really disappointed in the first two rounds, if we're being perfectly honest. I've seen a lot more fans show up at Memorial Coliseum.
For a regular season game.
Right. You know, but the problem is, and this isn't a UK problem or even a UK fan problem. The problem is the ticket prices are crazy. And they can't be the same as the men's if they want to grow the women's game. They need to find a way to drop ticket prices or make them more reasonable, because the average women's basketball fan in this town anyway is either kind of a senior citizen age or a family with small children.
Yes.
If you look around, that's a pretty common occurrence. for my family to go to this game, I mean, we priced it out. It was going to be, you know, like $88 for a family of four with two kids to go to this game. And that doesn't include parking or concessions or any of that stuff. And, you know, that's a lot of money to ask an everyday fan who maybe isn't as attached to the women's program as they are the men's program to pony up. So I think that maybe if they want to talk about better crowds, if they want to talk about getting, you know, growing the game, which is the phrase that committee uses all the time, then they're going to have to find a way to make it more accessible to their actual fans.
No kidding. I brought this up yesterday, and my family has been to several UK women's basketball games at Memorial and at Rupp Arena during the regular season. Remember was it the Baylor game? It was like a dollar mm-hmm. ticket you could get at Kroger or whatever. And
right.
We priced it out. It was $130 with the taxes and fees and everything. It was $130 right. without parking and all and dinner and everything else that was going to go into that for one game on a Friday night. I mean, I could go to dinner and get a sitter for that price, I mean, which may be more valuable than watching a basketball game to me and my family. So it is. There's no doubt about it. It is a little pricey to get people to come out because you're really having to beat the drum to get people to come.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's a UK men's basketball game, not so much.
No.
UK football, you don't have to do as much. You know, but you're having to beat the drum to say, hey, come out and support us and pay this. Yeah. So you need, if you could do that, like I brought up, and maybe there's no way this could happen, but I brought up the same dollar thing for Upper Arena. If you wanted to give Upper Arena seats to the tournament for a dollar, then I think you could get more people in there.
No, I totally agree. And the way that they got 17,000 at Rupp Arena for the Louisville game, the way they got, you know, I think it was 16,000 or 20,000 for Baylor was, you know, by offering massive ticket discounts and dollar tickets and finding ways to get them to elementary schools to reward them for good attendance. And
yeah.
I mean, that's how you drive up a fan base. And I think that's, you know, how the UK women have developed their fan base from the Mickey DeMoss era on. I think they've worked really hard to, you know, kind of get into the niches of people that they can build a fan base, and they've gotten a great response. I mean, you go to Memorial Coliseum and there are always 5,000 plus people there,
yeah.
even for the worst games. So, you know, I think that the NCAA maybe could take a cue from what they see around, you know, what they see at schools like Kentucky that have built it, or South Carolina even, that have built a fan base quickly in the last 5 to 10 years and really learn some things. I do wonder, I think Mark Story and I were talking about this, you know, we're wondering if it's a Title IX issue. Like they have to charge a certain number for this and not for that, or, you know, if there's some.
Yeah.
But, you know, the NCAA isn't necessarily mandated by Title IX laws. It's an interesting discussion. I'm curious and may write a story this summer just because of my curiosity to see if they've found better ways to do it or could find a better way to do it.
I would encourage that story because I would like to know, too. We're talking with Jen Smith of the Lexington Herald Leader, and let's switch to football now. And you were out there yesterday morning, a beautiful morning to be out on a football field. I saw you tweet that Drew Barker was impressive. What did you see? I'll just leave it open-ended. What were your general impressions of Drew Barker?
He looked comfortable. I mean, he looked like a guy who'd been through a few spring practices. He looked definitely in control of the first team offense. They had two 70-plus yard drives, you know, down the field for touchdowns. He looked just sort of comfortable in his own skin, and he seemed to be taking coaching well. You know, they have those sort of individual breakout drills, and I went and watched, and you know, it's interesting that Henshaw really puts them in the fire. They do their drills, and at the same time, there are two, you know, student trainers that are throwing blue tackle bags at them as they're throwing the ball.
I love that.
I mean, so they're sort of really trying to show them what it's going to be. And I think Henshaw said it the other day that, you know, when he was talking to the media, that the goal is to make the game seem less stressful than practice for the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They want the game to be almost a breeze compared to the stuff that he puts them through at practice. And I think we saw a little bit of that yesterday. I think that they were probably a little milder on the quarterbacks because the fans were in the building. But, you know, I think that we saw a lot of that. And then you saw, I think the thing that really impressed me wasn't even maybe the scrimmage portion of it, but, you know, in just sort of the 7-on-7 drills and some of the things that we saw, that Drew Barker was making some really incredible passes that he was unable to make last year with defenses on him. So you know, once you get a defense, an SEC defense in there, maybe he looks a little bit different. But he did strike me as someone who is connected with the wide receivers. And that group sort of struck me as a little more swaggy than they were at the end of last season when they were having a lot of trouble. So, you know,
they had nothing to be swaggy about at the end of last year.
That being said, Jen, with Drew looking good and the wide receivers looking like they had some confidence, did it appear to you, though, that running the ball was going to be the priority?
Oh, definitely. I mean, most definitely. I think that if Kentucky has found out, they're going to have to find ways to make those outside receivers viable to sort of open up the box for the run game. I mean, it's almost like they need to pass so they can run.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie Graham's goal would be to run it, I think, every time. He's an old running backs coach by nature, but I think that he understands that they're going to have to free up some room for guys like Boone Williams and JoJo Kemp. And the best way to do that is to get your outside receivers more active. And you saw Blake Bone make some pretty good catches yesterday. Dorian Baker, I think, was limited. We didn't ask about that, but he just didn't have as many catches as he normally would in a practice. But then the two redshirt freshmen, Richardson and Greenwood, they're both really big targets on the outside, and I think that should help free up the run game considerably. But, you know, I don't know that we got to see as much of the run game as we normally would with, you know, JoJo is limited. JoJo seemed limited. Boom is definitely out with the elbow thing, and then Mikel got hurt at the end. So, not sure we saw as much run game as we will going forward.
Saw the tight end used quite a bit, though. C.J. Conrad, a couple of touchdowns, and that's another weapon that, gosh, Mary Jo, how many times did we sit here on a Sunday morning and hear people go, well, I have to throw to C.J. Conrad more? Well, they did.
Or just
yesterday.
Having a tight end for the last, like, 6 years, I feel like people have been saying that.
Yeah, but it's a big part of Eddie Graham's offensive philosophy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think their offensive philosophy is find a way to get the ball to the most effective players. And I think that's, you know, I think C.J. Conrad is going to prove to be one of those guys. And he showed why yesterday. I mean, at the end of practice, he made a little tiptoe catch in the end zone that they ended practice on. And it was kind of a high note for the offense. And, you know, he's one of those guys. I think Eddie Graham was talking about it yesterday. You can put in the big package so it looks like you're running. You know, he looks like he's attached to the line. And then he can get out and break free and catch a, you know, and catch a touchdown in the end zone, which was what they were doing on that last one. And, you know, I think that will confuse defenses. I think last year the thing that became really evident toward the end of the season was defensive coordinators had picked up on the one- or two-dimensional Kentucky offense. Shannon Dawson was sort of a predictable play caller in a lot of ways. And I think this will free that up. I think, you know, defense were able to see, oh, well, they have this personnel in, so this is exactly what they're going to do. This season, I'm not sure that's going to be as predictable because they can be in the big personnel scheme and throw to the tight end in the end zone. So, you know, I think they'll have a lot more options with CJ, and I think it'll make the offense a little harder to sort of diagnose for a defensive coordinator.
We're talking with Lexington Herald leaders Jen Smith on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Cole Mosier, former walk-on, you know, ahead of Tate Leavitt at left tackle. That was one of the notes that Jen put in her column on Kentucky.com. That seems a little bit surprising.
You know, I was sort of intrigued to see how that would look in practice because, you know, every once in a while the Stoops' Twitter feed will tweet out practice pictures and you can sort of see what they're seeing and get a feel for what's going on. And I saw in one of those last week, you know, Freddie Maggard actually texted it to me and said, did you see this? And I looked at it and I was like, Cole Mosier, left tackle, what's going on? And so I was sort of intrigued by that. And when I got in there, I wondered if it was just that Leavitt was out or class or something. So when we got in there, I mean, Cole Mosier is clearly running with the first team offense right now. He's clearly the left tackle that they're using. I think Leavitt is one of those kids that's a junior college player, and sometimes it takes a while to sort of get used to the next level. And he might be going through some of those growing pains this season. But, you know, I think Mosier was one of those kids. He's a walk-on, but it's sort of deceptive because he had two or three different surgeries that kept him from being sort of looked at and recruited by the bigger schools his sophomore and junior year. He's a big boy. He's super athletic. He's able to play tackle and guard spots both. So, you know, I think that he is one of those players that everybody's like, oh, he's a former walk-on, and they're using him at left tackle. But I'm not sure that it's as easy as that. I think it's, you know, he had a lot more skill and you know, probably just had a bad run of luck in high school that kept him from being recruited by some of the bigger names.
He's 6'6", by the way.
Yeah.
Big boy.
He's a big boy.
I think
speaking of big boys, there was a Landon Young was there from Lafayette. He was in the middle of the practice circle, and he just towered over Mark Stoops. I mean, it was just amazing to me how big that kid is. You know, I've seen him like on the field playing football, and I've seen some footage of him wrestling, but he is a big kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be good. I have no doubt he's going to be good.
He's NFL, yeah.
So I think last year you might say the strength of the defense lied in the secondary, and it didn't look like they necessarily missed a beat.
No, I think that the secondary is going to be great. I think that they show a lot of promise, and there was actually some depth in the secondary you were able to see yesterday, too. I think that the linebacker group and the defensive line are still the biggest question marks for this group going forward, and that's seven very, very big question marks for a team that's, I mean, the secondary is sort of useless if you can't get to the, you know, if you can't get to the quarterback. And I think that they have to find ways to get to the quarterback. They're probably not going to be able to do it in traditional SEC use your lineman sort of ways. There's going to be a lot of gimmicks and stunts and sort of interesting ways that they tried to devise to get to the quarterback. They struggled with it last season, and they have even less sort of veteran leadership this season. So defense is definitely the biggest question mark in my mind going into summer camp.
Yeah, you hear great things about Courtney Love, but he hasn't played for UK yet. Mm-hmm. You've heard great things about Jordan Jones. You know, he played some last year. Josh Allen, you've heard great things about him. Denzel Ware, you know, De Niro Laster. These just are all guys who are unproven. And then now Matt Elam has to step into the role of starter. Reggie Mint, you know, has done some good things, but nothing still completely unproven. And Courtney Miggins, another one. But there's a lot of question marks, yes. So many question marks going into this. Yeah, but the secondary is not.
No, the secondary is definitely not. But the thing that I sort of, you know, a lot of people were questioning, you know, Melvin Lewis was somebody that people were sort of like, eh, is he going to be able to do anything in there? You know, and he turned out to be sort of indispensable by the end of the season. We all saw just how good he was at his job, and he sort of rose. He rose from a junior college kid that was able to do very little when he first got to Kentucky to a guy that potentially could be a free, you know, an NFL free agent coming up. So, you know, I think that Kentucky does have the ability to develop some of those players, and they've shown that they can, but, you know, they also have missed on a few. So it'll be sort of fascinating to see if they're able to find more Melvin Lewis's, to develop those guys into something that they can work with, and to see if they can compete at that SEC level, which is still a big question mark in my mind.
Well, Jen Smith, thank you so much for joining us on this Easter Sunday morning. We appreciate all your insight on the UK women and the UK football team. And now it is a full-on football focus for you.
And then some time off.
Yes. Well, I hope those boys enjoy this Easter and all the little things Mommy and Daddy gives them today.
Thanks, guys. Have a happy Easter, too.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mike and Mike.
Not all of us have $13 million decisions, but parents make decisions about their careers based upon their kids all the time.
I firmly believe that it was agreed he could have his kid around, and I think it just got to be, wait a minute, he's here again. I think some players just got tired of it. And for those out there saying, well, why doesn't the player just speak up to Adam LaRoche and tell him? Could you go tell a friend of yours or a teammate of yours that your kid is a problem?
Mike and Mike.
Weekdays 6 to 10 on ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Matthew Lawrence here, and you and I have something in common. We love sports and we love movies. I've had DirecTV for 7 years because they offer the most sports and a huge selection of on-demand movies at no extra charge. Now, the best way to get DirecTV? From my friends at Impact Satellite, and here's why. First, you can get a $100 Visa gift card when they sign you up for new DirecTV service. Second, you might be eligible for another $100 Visa gift card only from Impact Satellite if you're a Sam's Club or Costco member. Contact Impact Satellite for details. When you get new DirecTV service, you need to do it through Impact Satellite because they'll make sure you save as much money as possible. Impact Satellite is a local company. They're local and installers are on time and do the job right, and they specialize in helping you select the right viewing package. Impact Satellite in Georgetown, 104 Lawson Drive between Walmart and 84 Lumber, or call them at 502-867-0157. Tell them I sent you, save an extra $10 per month for the first 10 months.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So Bill Dotrieve is leaving Vanderbilt. I don't know if you knew that. A.K.A. Kevin Stallings and his...
It appears to be official now.
Yeah. One report says King confirmed that he has accepted the job and told his players over the phone that he has accepted the Pittsburgh job. Kevin Stallings.
Because Jamie Dixon went to TCU.
Right. Where he's from. Went to school there, I guess. And Stallings, I saw that his son is on a AAA Pittsburgh Pirates affiliate. He plays minor league baseball for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay, did not know that.
So that's kind of interesting. That I don't guess that has anything to do with whether or not he'd go to Pittsburgh, but... So now Vanderbilt will have a new coach, which...
So I did see another report that if Kevin Stallings left... That I'm trying to think who said it, but that Vandy would target Will Wade.
Will Wade, I'm not familiar with him. Who
right,
is that?
He is the head coach at VCU. He replaced Shaka Smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, VCU's looked pretty good. Wonder if
Vandy's. I think it's a good job and a tough job at the same time.
Yeah.
I hated Kevin Stallings. Like I just couldn't stand him.
Complained a lot.
Such a whiner.
Yeah.
Threatened to kill people, you know, from time to time. Remember when he had to apologize? I'm going to kill you.
I do remember that. But see, I empathize with him because...
Listen, I've threatened to kill my sisters before.
Right. Or like I might say something to my son like I'm going to knock you out or I'm going to, you know, smack you over the head with that or something or... Which, no, I'm never going to do that, but...
My dad's was always, I'm going to knock you into next Tuesday.
Well, I say next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where do you think I got that from?
Yeah. Right?
So, but it's a different time, you know. So then, early on, when the boys were younger, I would try to make sure I didn't say those things, stop myself, because... Kids repeat stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. They go into school, repeat that to the wrong person, like a 20-something-year-old teacher or supervisor or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And they have no idea. You know, they're like, oh, what are we talking about here? Because they don't understand from that generation, from that time. Next thing I know, I'll have child services at the house. But I have explained to them and they understand. I asked the question, have I ever knocked you into next week? Has that ever happened? Me. Have you been knocked into next week by me? No. Well, then what are you worried about?
But yeah, Kevin Stallings is gone. He was the longest tenured coach in the SEC. I'm trying to think how many years has he been there, but
17 or 18,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long time.
And he's one of the guys you talk about who is underperformed. Someone who's had good teams.
And especially when talking about the tournament.
Yeah. Sweet 16 twice. That's it. All that time he was there. Had lots of good players. Sweet 16 twice. That's as far as they've gone. So that is a little different from what we were talking about with Kansas. And so we're going to talk baseball next. We're going to do that with Brent Ingram. Let me tell you something about Brent Ingram. This guy lives and breathes it. UK baseball. Baseball in general, but UK baseball especially. He probably was up till 4 a.m. working on some kind of notes package or statistics or something on the UK baseball team. So he knows it all, and he will share that knowledge with you all next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Catch the Dan and Mary Jo Show Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go on first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Your new job is waiting. Wait, your new career is waiting. Aramark.
Aramark, a world leader in providing professional services, is now accepting applications for accounts receivable specialists and customer service representatives at our Shared Services Center located in Lexington, Kentucky.
Visit aramark.com/careers to learn more. Aramark, we enrich and nourish lives every day. A background check is required for these positions. Aramark is an equal opportunity employer.
ESPN Sports Radio. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
UK baseball team snapping Florida's number one ranked Florida.
Yes.
17 game win streak yesterday on a beautiful day at Cliffhagen Stadium. Great crowd. I know a guy who loved watching it, loves UK baseball. Brent Ingram has been there for a while, does a great job. Brent, good morning. Happy Easter. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, Brent. So yesterday, what a fun afternoon. You know what? And it's always great when you can see home runs and beating the number one team in the country. So now today is the rubber match, trying to get the series win over the top team in America. Kyle Cody's going for the Cats today against an undefeated pitcher from Florida named Alex Faedo.
Yeah, that's right. Alex is really good. He's really good. He's probably got the best numbers of the three starters that Florida has. So we're going to have a tough test, but we feel good about our guy. You know, he's certainly got the stuff to beat anywhere in the country. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a good day, and hopefully we can come out, get some runs, and have a good crowd.
What did you think of yesterday's crowd? What did Gary Henderson think of yesterday's crowd?
He was really impressed. You know, it was good to see you there, Dan, but he was really impressed. You know, I thought it was a loud crowd, and they impacted the game. I even noticed a little impromptu cheer for our second baseman going when he comes up. You know, the loop, the extended loop.
Yeah.
That was nice. So it was good. Hopefully we're going to have the same kind of crowd. I know it's Easter, but maybe they'll be a little late arriving.
When you have a guy like A.J. Puck on the mound for Florida, and I'm just saying that because there was an obnoxious Florida fan sitting behind us the whole game yesterday, so I just had to throw that jab out there. No, A.J. Puck, I mean, he's a good pitcher, great pitcher, possible number one pick in the Major League Baseball draft, but when Evan White comes up there and gets a hold of one, I think that said something early on in the game.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dan. You know, and I don't know if you remember that first at bat. Storm Wilson is a great hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just overmatched by 96, 97, 98. That's literally how the pitch sequence went for Puck. And then, you know, Evan comes up, and I think it was a 2-2 pitch. It was a two-strike pitch. And he pulls it, you know, 93, I think, two-seamer down, and he pulls it. And that kind of set the tone. But I thought Evan's at bat, I don't know if you remember this, he had a 10-pitch at bat against Puck to lead off the inning. He eventually scored three in.
Yes.
And I thought that kind of set the tone, too. And Evan was really good yesterday. And obviously, anytime you have a guy in your two-hole kind of setting things up for the rest of the lineup, it helps.
So baseball can be such a game of momentum. How big moving forward would a win today and a series win over Florida be for this team?
Well, it's big. You know, I think the thing that I think about most is RPI. So, you know, it's March. We shouldn't be thinking about RPI yet. But, you know, we're mid-30s right now. Florida's going to be 1-2-3 all year. You know, so if you can somehow get two wins against them, that's going to help. You know, obviously you have 30 conference games. So we still have a large road in front of us in terms of conference play. But I think it would be big in terms of RPI. And you win your first two series of the year. That's always big.
No doubt about it. Something that has to get straightened out moving forward, obviously, is either Friday starter or Sunday starter, Zach Brown or Kyle Cody, has got to be a little bit more consistent, because Dustin Beggs in the middle has been outstanding. Has won his first six starts. He looked great yesterday. What did he go, five-plus innings there? It's like 5 1/3 or 2/3, but he was great, and then you've got a strong bullpen for UK with Justin Lewis came in as freshman. He was outstanding. You got the Jelly. Well, what's his name? I'm sorry.
That's right. You got it. Sean Jelly.
Yeah. Sean Jelly, yeah.
Nailed the pronunciation.
Which, by the way, if Beyonce's song, I Don't Think You're Ready for This Jelly, does not come on every time he runs to the mound, something is wrong in that press box up there.
Or peanut butter jelly time. Right?
Or peanut butter jelly time, yeah. Because he's 6'10", 6'11". I mean, he's huge. I saw him warming up.
Yeah.
So I saw him warming up over there, and they didn't need him. Justin Lewis was able to get it done. So my whole point is that the bullpen is strong. The Saturday pitcher is tough to beat. You got to think you got a really good chance of winning against anybody in the country when Dustin Beggs takes the mound. It's just Zach Brown, maybe on Friday night, or you know, Kyle Cody on Sunday. One of those guys has either got to pick it up or maybe a change has to be made.
Well, I think they both really have the stuff to really dominate any time they go out there. And so you feel real good about Zach, and you feel real good about Kyle. And they're veterans. They've been through it. They've proven that they can do it. So, you know, I think you're just kind of waiting for them to hit their stride, and they will. And I think Gary's extremely confident in them. And, you know, I don't think he's even thought about, you know, making a change. I think one of the things you benefit from, and I think you touched on it there, is that you now have a deep bullpen. And that's something you might not always have in the past, so you might have to run a guy out there for 110 pitches. And now, if he doesn't have it, you can identify that early, and you can go to a guy like Justin Lewis, and you can eat up three innings of the game.
Yeah.
Brent, for those folks who have not been out to watch you all play, kind of talk about where the runs are manufactured from offensively on this team. I know Javon Shelby. I mean, if your last name is Shelby, you are good.
He can crank the home run ball. Let me tell you.
It is what it is. I mean, there's something in that gene pool that's ridiculous. You know, Evan White went 3-for-3 yesterday. Dorian Harrison, just kind of talk about offensively where this team is right now.
Yeah, you know, I think Javon's a big piece of it. You know, he's hit 3-4 all season for us. But there's been some guys that have really stepped up and been a big piece of that offense. You know, we touched on Evan White a little earlier. He's obviously a big piece of our offense, hitting 2. And he's a guy who's not your typical first baseman, and he can steal some bases. So I think that helps. Storm Wilson at the top of the order really helps as well. And then you got a guy like Gunnar McNeil, the big junior college slugger who can kind of run the ball to foul pole, and he's been a big help.
And he's extended his hitting streak to 17 games now he's gotten a hit. You've got some good names. So
well,
we've got Jelly, we've got Storm, Gunnar.
Yeah. And
that's right, we've got the all-name team in addition to 6 guys named Zach.
And what Storm has reached base safely in how many games out of how many games he's played?
I think
he's made about 90 starts, and he's reached base safe in about 80 of them. So he's really kind of been a force at the top of the order, and he's what you look for in an on-base percentage guy.
Absolutely. That's got to be your leadoff guy. And then as far as Shelby goes, when the dad's name is T-Bone, that's a good sign for things to come. But today's game at 1 o'clock, what was the attendance yesterday? What was that figure final? You know?
It was a season high for us. I believe it was just in the 3,000 mark. So hopefully we get even better weather than we had yesterday. Good crowd.
And it's a good time. The other thing they did, we didn't I only bought lemonade for the boys because we just came from lunch, like straight from lunch to the ballpark. But the food has stepped it up big time over there, right?
You're right, Dan. You know, you can show up on a Saturday and get cheesesteak and get an ice cream sundae for $2 on Sunday. You know, they've really, Aramark, our concession partner, has really done a tremendous job in our marketing department at finding some things that maybe the fans would enjoy. You know, $1 hot dogs in pregame. The A.J. Reed nachos are obviously a big hit as well.
Yeah. You can buy the A.J. Reed nachos in an authentic U.K. baseball batting helmet. Like, not a little one, a full-size one.
Right, it's the real thing.
Yeah, it's the real thing. And the nachos are, what do they weigh? What's their size?
85 ounces.
85 ounces. Loaded. So
what
you can just...
Do is you want to share there.
Right.
You
sit down at the end of the row with the helmet of nachos, and then you just pass it, you know, just pass it along.
You definitely want to be the first or second person in line, though.
Crunch, crunch, give.
Yeah.
No double dipping.
Absolutely not. But no, I took the kids out there. They had a great time. It's still a great atmosphere. I know the goal is to have a new stadium, and that thing's in the works. But it's still a great atmosphere for a big game. And the one question I have, which I've noticed this over the years, and I've just always forgotten to ask this, is why is there no radar? Is the Gary just not want a radar out there on the scoreboard?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah. You know, there's a few schools in the league that do. There's a few that don't. And I think that's something you kind of look at when you move to a new stadium from a fan experience perspective.
Right.
But, you know, that's one thing he's always been conscious of, is that that's just adding something else for the 18 to 22-year-old kid.
Right.
You know, in the middle of their development to be focused on. But obviously you go on the road and you experience that as well. So, you know, I think that's something that maybe you look at, you know, from a fan perspective going forward.
Right. Just the coach's preference, which you can understand that. I mean, you got an 18-year-old in the batter's box and he sees A.J. Puck throwing at 98, 97, 96, three pitches in a row. And he goes, oh, I'm out before I enter the box. I can understand. Hey, well, Brent, thank you so much. I hope a great crowd is able to come out today. The weather's going to be perfect for it, so let's get this victory and start off the SEC season, the conference season, with two straight series wins, including one over a number one team.
Making a statement, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Well, thanks, guys, for having me on. It was good to see you yesterday at the ballpark, Dan.
Yeah, good to see you, too. Thanks,
Happy
Brent.
Happy Easter, Brent.
Yes.
See you, MJ.
Brent Ingram from UK joining us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show, and we'll take your calls. We've got one more segment left. You can get in here 381-1313, and we'll talk a little baseball or football or whatever you like here in the last segment on the Dan and Mary Joe Show
on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
If you're a parent like me, I'm sure you have great concerns about what your kids are seeing on the internet. The answer is Circle, the device pit stop in Lexington, has a new breakthrough in cyber device technology. It's Circle with Disney. Circle is a device that connects to your home Wi-Fi. Circle filters content and helps manage time limits. You can customize a dashboard based on age, interest, age-appropriate content, and so much more. Circle is so amazing, it allows you to manage every device in your home with an app on your smartphone. Circle enables you to create balance by seeing your family members' browsing habits by platform, category, and website. Circle and its partnership provides content with Disney Entertainment that parents trust and children love. And best of all, Circle is tamper-proof. Circle, created by families for families. You can see Circle at Device Pit Stop.
Learn more about Circle and all of its features and even give it a test drive at Device Pit Stop. We are located in the Zandell Shopping Center at 2220 Nicholasville Road.
You gotta go to the pit stop for sure!
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is a whole wink, wink, hush, hush.
Stick to the script!
At the Body Bay, we have things. So many things! You like tie-dyes? We got them! We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, e-cigs, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Body Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Body Bay. 420! East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D. Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I actually love this song.
That's a fun song.
Yeah, I know. As much as Josh plays like The Weeknd over and over again or Fetty Wap over and over again, this is a new one.
Yes, it is.
And I was pleasantly surprised with this.
I was. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I've thought about, like, okay, I put together some notes for the show just to have some stuff to know to talk about and don't have to look it up. And so I thought about also making a playlist so that I do not have to hear the five same songs over and over again for 2 days in a row. But nice that you went outside the box. Had you heard that song before? Was that something? Okay. So you, because I wonder if maybe there's like.
Because Bare Naked Ladies was not.
No, not.
Your era.
No, that song came out like when we were probably in college.
College, yeah.
Yeah. Like when you were what? In diapers probably. Josh. Oh. Feeling old. So the games tonight, Syracuse, Virginia, North Carolina, Notre Dame. We'll have them here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 by
yes.
the way. Who do you want to see? Who do you think will win?
Well, I'm not a big fan of like any ACC schools.
So I know.
I don't really, but I'm sure that North Carolina is going to beat Notre Dame.
I would want to see Notre Dame win that game. I would like to see Notre Dame. You know, if Kansas is not in the Final Four and North Carolina is not in the Final Four, nothing wrong with that. Jim Boeheim, I'm not a big fan of him or Syracuse. So I would prefer to see Virginia.
Yeah, I'd prefer to see Virginia win.
So if we could have a Virginia, Notre Dame, Villanova, Oklahoma Final Four, how crazy would that be? When's Virginia been to the Final Four last?
Well, they always beat Louisville. So I kind of like Virginia for that reason.
Yeah. Notre Dame, I'm trying to think. Have they been to a Final Four any time in the last 10 years?
I wouldn't think in the last 10 years. No. I don't recall that at all. I know they were obviously in the regional final last year. I mean, that was a great game against Kentucky.
And Jay Wright got Villanova to the Final Four previously.
Was it 2009, did they say?
Yeah.
Was that when it was Scotty Reynolds, that group, maybe? I don't know.
Now, Oklahoma was like Billy Tubbs the coach the last time they got to the Final Four, like Stacey King and Mookie Blaylock, whose two sons played football at UK. I don't know if they're still, did they graduate? I think they just graduated last year. Darren Blaylock and.
Yes. And do you know, I believe twin brother. The original name for the band Pearl Jam was Mookie Blaylock.
Yes, it was. That is correct. I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah, see, you never play any of that stuff. Any, like, grunge era Seattle Sam Pearl Jam.
Nirvana.
Which, by the way, if you have not heard, you're familiar with Sturgill Simpson, right? Are you familiar with him at all?
No.
Okay. Last week, 2 weeks ago, he had tickets go on sale for two shows, back-to-back nights, at the Opera House right over here. Both of them sold out in 15 minutes.
Okay, is this the ZZ Top dude?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sturgill Simpson is from Versailles. He went to Woodford County High School. And he is a country singer, national artist. You know how Chris Stapleton has risen?
Yes.
Sturgill Simpson, in that vein, in that it is not Florida, Georgia Line, Luke Bryan, Eric Church garbage.
Okay.
It is real country in the Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard tradition. There's a resurgence of that kind of sound, of that kind of country. And Chris Stapleton and Sturgill Simpson are probably the leaders of that movement. They're the most popular. They're the ones that are moving the needle on it, that are getting the most response. So, I mean, Chris Stapleton is, you know, blown up. I mean,
yes,
heck,
yes.
He did a duet with Justin Timberlake on the Grammys or whatever that was. Well, Sturgill Simpson has covered Nirvana's In Bloom. And it sounds nothing like, you know, the song that you remember by Nirvana. And it is so just unique sounding. It's just, it's so different. It's done in a real, I don't know, roadhouse, barroom, country sound with steel guitar and
That sounds kind of cool, actually.
It is. If we had another break to play, we would play that. Or you could just bring it up now, Josh. Go ahead, bring up Sturgill Simpson, In Bloom. Search that, and we'll play it here in a minute. Yeah, I tried to get tickets for the Sturgill Simpson show like 30 minutes after they went on sale. Oh, no. I was informed. Yeah, you had to get them in the first 15. So he sold out two shows at the Opera House in 15 minutes.
Wow.
So he's a big deal, and he's from right here. So just like Chris Stapleton from Johnson County, from right around the corner. Something about Kentucky and, I guess, old country music. These guys are bringing it back. So it's pretty cool. Do you have it? All right, go ahead. We'll play this, a little bit of this.
Sam keeps food.
See, that sounds old.
Yeah.
Where the changes move.
That sounds...
You would never have even...
Right. Spring. That's not Nirvana, right?
No.
It reminds me a little bit of Vern Gosden. You wouldn't remember Vern Gosden.
Like no. Just throwing names out there.
He's a one who likes all our pretty songs and likes to sing.
I kind of like that, though.
Likes to shoot his gun.
Turn it up, Josh.
Don't know what it means. Don't know what it means to love someone.
I mean, Kurt Cobain would never have imagined. I wonder what Dave Grohl thinks of it, you know? I like it. Sounds great.
It does.
It's pretty sounding. Whereas the Nirvana song in their version sounds like, I'm going to rip your head off, you know?
But it's still a good version of it.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean there's anger behind it.
Yes.
There's angst. There's something. Well, this is very pretty sounding.
Yeah.
Very good song for Easter.
Lot of angst.
A lot of angst.
That genre.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'll just tell you, so like Sam runs the show as far as music goes in the car.
Mm.
When I was at work Friday, this is also how old I am. I mean, I found my Simon and Garfunkel greatest hits and I was blasting it. screaming as loud as I could singing. It was just refreshing to not have race rumored.
Yeah. I get tired of it, too. I let them go for a little while, and then sometimes if it's a longer trip, forget it. But on the way to school in the morning, Daddy, can we listen to the radio or we can listen to music? I put it on 106.3, which is an LM communication station, and plays pop, just plays the pop songs. And they love that stuff, and they love, or they'll ask me, Daddy, can you put on, what's the the dance song, the one that
Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance.
Yeah. Or they'll ask for Eduardo comes home the other day and says, hit the Kwan.
Yeah.
Hit the Kwan. My wife goes, hit the what?
Yeah.
Hit the what? I'm like, hit the Kwan. It's a song.
Sam he's got this one move and he does it all the time and it's not going to make sense on the radio, but it literally looks like he's having a seizure. And he goes, and puts his hands out and rolls his eyes back in his head and shakes himself. And that's his dance move. I don't know. Are other people doing that or are you just super weird?
Can we get Michael Jackson back? I mean, you know, I used to have the glove and the socks and it wasn't hit the Kwan. It was Thriller.
Get off our lawn.
Beat it. Happy Easter, everyone. Thanks for putting up with us on this Sunday morning on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. Talk to you next week.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Westwood One is your exclusive.